be together and gather ourselves around the Word of God. We must remember, of course, that being gathered together like this, we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit. Tremendous privilege to recognize that. We often speak of coming out in the context of our own strength and going to a meeting, but where two or three are being gathered together, there am I in the midst. Now, we could sing a hymn to begin the meeting this evening. 902. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We'll stand and sing this hymn through, 902.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but only lean on Jesus' name.
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed God and our Father, we would again pause at the commencement of this meeting this evening to acknowledge first and foremost thy goodness and mercy, thy grace which is where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We thank thee freshly for Calvary, Father, for the wonders that were known in the darkness. At that place where the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Father, we just bow in thy holy presence this evening with humble gratitude for the man of Calvary, the Lord of heaven. Father, we thank thee that he has done all things well. We thank thee for that great sacrifice which has been accomplished to the eternal satisfaction of a holy God, and one who is received up into heaven, one who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We thank thee for the blessed Saviour. Now as we seek to just to enter into the divine things, the things of thy word, grant to us wisdom and understanding, guidance and instruction by the Holy Spirit, that we may be edified and encouraged. Meet our every need tonight, we ask, Father. We're conscious of our weakness and our failures, but we're conscious of thy desire that we may just live on for thee and bring glory to Christ. Father, help us, we do ask. We pray for those who have not been able to make it tonight, and those who are away for varying reasons and circumstances. And Father, we just do pray for their preservation and their blessing. We ask, Father, if there are any that are away tonight out in the world, and really they should be here, we pray for them. O God, that they would be drawn and considered to think upon these very things that we're considering. Oh, Father, just to live for Christ. So we ask these things and we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me, please, to the Isaiah and chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. We'll just take some readings from the Word of God, and then we're going to concentrate mostly on the first epistle to Corinthians in chapter 3. But I want to just take a few readings just so we can speak about them as we go along. Isaiah chapter 2 and the last verse of that chapter, verse 22. Cease ye from man. Excuse me. Isaiah 2:22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Malachi, please, in chapter 2. Malachi. Sorry, chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And verse number 2. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Into the New Testament, please. And the second epistle to Timothy. Sorry, just before we go there, another scripture that has come to my mind is Luke and chapter number 19, please. Luke and chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17, if I remember right then. Verse 17. Luke 19, verse 17, and he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Well, thou good servant. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And verse number 12. Well, we'll read from verse 11. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now the first epistle to Corinthians and chapter 3, please. The first epistle to Corinthians and chapter 3. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work to see what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Now we've taken a number of readings together this evening, and the thought of my heart for this evening's meeting is to think of that judgment, or when we were going outside last night, Mr. Booth made another title, assessment, which is absolutely appropriate. Assessment, evaluation, estimation, that which is in the coming day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our work is going to be assessed. Our service is going to be assessed. It's going to be assessed on the basis of the Word of God. And on the basis of the Word of God, it's going to be tried. And we will find out, we will see, just what was done, indeed, in accordance with the Word of God. Every material that was used in the labor of God's servants, every mindset of while I labor, every motive of my heart, every manner in which that service took place, the service which was public and open and for all to see, service which is private, not so much personal, but private, behind closed doors as such that maybe only certain ones see. And then that which is personal, that which goes on within the very seat of my being, of which none of you know. That which is physical, of which I use this body for, in service to God. All of this will come under review in the coming day when we stand before that great judgment throne, the judgment seat, the Bema. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. It just simply means that throne upon which Christ will sit when we stand before him. It is used of Pilate. Pilate had a judgment seat. And Christ came before Pilate's judgment seat. And it was that seat where determination was going to be made concerning the person of Christ. Well, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, there is going to be a determination made concerning our service for God while here below. It would cause us, if I would concentrate my mind upon this more, it would cause me to be more diligent in my service, I'm sure. These things, as I mentioned to Murray in private before these meetings started, just cause you to tread with a certain amount of trepidation and cause you just to be careful and cause you just to sit up and think concerning the service. We'll see primarily concerning 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. You can break this chapter down into a number of sections. From verses 1 to 2, we see spirituality. Spirituality. That which of an assessment is going to be made in a coming day as to my maturity in spiritual things. And that's the light I want to look at this whole chapter. In the light of the judgment seat of Christ. There are many different ways and brothers who can bring out in a tremendous way these truths, but I just want to break it down simply and cause us to see this in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Our spiritual maturity will be assessed. Our growth. Not only spirituality, but we see sectarianism in verses 3 and 4. We'll look at that a bit more closely. In verses 5 to 9, we see it speaks about servants. Those who actually serve. Paul, Apollos, are given to us as examples upon the page of Scripture. From verses 10 to 12, we see service. Now not so much the servant himself, but the service that is rendered by that servant. And we can see that in verses 10 to 12. In verses 13 to 15, it's scrutiny. The scrutiny at the judgment seat of Christ. At the Bema, where not only the servant And but the service will come under review, and I will be assessed as to how I was as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be assessed as to my service as a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. From verses 16 to 17, it gives us just the seriousness of what it is to labor for God. Know ye not these words, and the reality of these words just appear to be stamped upon the page of Scripture, so that we may sit up and take notice. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? We see suitability from verses 18 and onwards. Moving into chapter 4, we would see stewardship. But we want to look, really I want to break this chapter down into just four parts tonight. Four simple parts. There are actually five, but there are basically four ye are's in this chapter. Ye are, if you look at the first and second book of Corinthians, it is used 35 times. 35 times that little statement is made, ye are, in the first and second epistles to the Corinthians. It's very significant when you look at the ye are's. We find five of them in this chapter. Verse number 3, ye are yet carnal. Verse number 9, ye are God's husbandry. Verse number 16, ye are temple of God. But then again in verse number 17, but it's the same context, which temple? Ye are. Verse number 23, ye are Christ. I just look at them like this in four parts. There is the ye are of carnality. The ye are of carnality. That's in verses 1 to 4. Then from verse 5 to 12, we see the ye are of responsibility. The ye are of responsibility. In verses 13 down to verse 17, we see the ye are of reality. Temple of God. The reality that our lives are going to be assessed, and that the fire is going to try my work, my labor. And we'll see that, how that should be brought home to us. In that last little section from verses 18 down to 23, we see the ye are of humility. What are we? Ye are Christ. So just to break it down into those four sections, the ye are of carnality, responsibility, reality, and humility. It is amazing when we look at this. He begins this, ye are yet carnal. Now if we stop there, brothers and sisters, like unfortunately so many do, I really want to bring this to our attention tonight. There is a great temptation just to stop there. Ye are yet carnal. But you know, in the same breath almost, he says this. Ye are God's husbandry. There is carnality, tragically, amongst believers and in the assemblies of God's people. But brethren, I would suggest, according to this, that we should just never write off an assembly. Here, there may be an assembly, ye are yet carnal. But the apostle has to remind us that at the same time, ye are God's husbandry. And in the same breath, ye are temple of God. So I don't think, and it's been a fresh reminder to my soul this afternoon, there may be things that I don't agree with, There may be things that I see upon the page of Scripture, but what am I going to do? Just write them off? Here the Apostle Paul, he would seek to help them. Sometimes people would take the attitude that they don't want to be helped. It moves maybe onto a different level according to my association. But I must never do this. I must never write them off. Here, ye are yet karma, ye are temple of God. So we see, let's look at this first little section together. Ye carnality, verses 1 to 4. I want to notice that at the judgment seat of Christ, our spiritual standing is going to come under review. That's in verse 1. He says, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as under carnal. There was an expectation. There is an expectation of growth in the life of the believer. There is an expectation of growth as to what we would put into the assembly, brothers and sisters, for I don't want us to lose sight of the context here, that this is concerning the local assembly. We were learning the other day concerning sectarianism and the absolute inconsistency and the absolute opposition of what sectarianism is to the local assembly. It should never exist. It is never at any time sanctioned by God that we are the such and such. And we are the such and such. And I belong to the such and such. That's never sanctioned in God's holy word. It's just simply local assemblies of God's people gathered together by the Spirit of God. But that's not the subject tonight. I want to see that this, my spiritual growth in God's assembly, is going to come under review. Oh, that would impact me more. How have I been maturing in the assembly of God's people? How have I been developing? It's just a thrill just to see development, isn't it? We would expect that, just with a child, to see that natural course of development. Oh, brothers and sisters, could it ever be that someone would remain stagnant? Someone could remain in a position without moving into real spiritual maturity, saved, baptized, in fellowship, growing and flourishing for God. And you can see the natural growth there. But oh, if someone stops at this point, if that happened naturally with a child, we would start to worry. We would take them to the doctors pretty quickly. We would get some investigations made. But I want to remind our hearts this afternoon that at the Bema, my spiritual growth is going to be assessed. It's going to be reviewed. And it's going to be expected that as a child of God, I would grow in the things, in the service of God, particularly in relation to the local assembly. What am I putting into God's assembly? What am I putting in the service of God, that something may be built that would last, that would endure, and ultimately be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Or am I slapdash? We'll see this a bit later on. The absolute accuracy, the precision of the apostle, the wise master builder, the architect, the one who was precise in his work and took time over detail and made sure his labor was according to the word of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, where would we be? We would be completely at sea if the foundation had gone wrong, wouldn't we? But God ensured that into the hands of holy apostles, that foundation was laid, which is Jesus Christ. But I wonder, when my service is analyzed, is there that spiritual maturity, that spiritual development? We can see striving in that first section. Here are people, here are an assembly, God's children striving with one another. What are we striving for? Are we striving for the glory of God, or are we striving with one another? This is going to come under the great assessment. That review is going to be scrutinized as to what I was doing in building in God's assembly. Was I responsible to pull things down, or was I being responsible to edify and just see the work of God flourish and move on? Here was a people acting in a carnal way. This has been impressed upon my heart in recent times as to just what my attitude is. What is it all about? What am I here for? Is it really so I can just get on the lines and gossip about the other believers? Is it so I can complain and hold a grudge? Is it so I can talk about those behind their backs? Oh, this is soul-searching, brothers and sisters. That this is going to come under review in a coming day. Not only my standing, but my striving and my steps. Ye walk as men. What are my movements? What is my manner of life? What is my maturity? Maturity. My manner. My movements. My standing, my striving, my steps, are they ordered according to the word of God? Because it's going to come under review. Is it that I'm moving forward? He speaks of walking here, and again, it's an expectation that we grow in our service for God, that we may flourish and bring glory to the Lord. So out of that little first section, I want to encourage our hearts just to analyze at this present time. What are my steps? My movements? What is my standing? My maturity? What is my striving? My manner? In God's assembly? Am I making progress? Will it be to the glory of the Lord? For these things will come under review at the Bema. When we move into that second little section, responsibility, we want to see here position, produce, and precision. Position. He says, I have planted and Apollos watered. Brothers and sisters, in God's assembly, in the service for the Lord, let us not do another man's work. Let us not do another sister's work. Just let us do our own work. We're going to be assessed on our own work. God has given us each one a position in the local assembly. He's given different gifts according to his own will. The gifts there, ordered of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God Himself, there that they would be given so that there would be fruit bearing. Given so that there would be edification. And brothers and sisters, it's just sometimes a temptation, isn't it? Just to try and do another man's work. Another sister's work. So we must be careful here. I just noticed ability, unity, stability, and accuracy in this little section. Ability. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered. Here is these two distinct services for God. Here is the apostle, and he's planting. Here is the Apollos, and he's watering that which has been planted. But you know, let us not forget sovereignty. God gives the increase. That's just been a fresh challenge to my heart. We would find that, wouldn't we, in Psalm 127, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But brothers and sisters, it's for us to be instant, in season and out of season. Oh, there are seasons when things just seem to flourish. There are seasons when things, when it just seems that maybe there's a test. God just seems to be withholding his hand for a certain reason. It's unknown to me. But here, he just simply reminds us of this, that my movements, my personal service that God has given me to do is going to come under review. It's not going to be another man's service that I'm going to come under review for, or another sister's service that a dear sister's going to come under. It's going to be each for our own. The position that God has given us, the ability as to which we would fulfill that which God has given us. I have planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase, the responsibility, sovereignty. Here we see, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. In a coming day, brothers and sisters, when we receive any reward for any labour done down here, it will abound to the glory of God. What a day. Oh, the temptation, the glory of man. That's what we find right at the end of the chapter. But it's going to be for the glory of God. We see here unity. Every man, so he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labour. Brothers and sisters, something that's going to come under review at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ, is how I worked with my brothers and sisters. What is my attitude as I labour with them? As we are yoked together in the service of God, is it that I'm pulling one way and somebody's pulling the other way? And we seem to go round more in circles than we go forward and make progress. Would to God that we would remember that our service as united with one another is going to come under review as to what I am doing with my brothers and sisters in service for God in the local assembly. This is why he would stress in this book and in so many passages of the New Testament. And we would find not only that stressed by the Apostle Paul, but in the very practice of those New Testament Christians throughout the book of the Acts, that they were of one accord. They were in absolute unity together. They moved forward with the message of the gospel, with the labor of God, with the building of the local the service of God in the local assembly. God gave the increase. It was for the edification of the saints. And they worked hand in hand. So it's going to come under review at the Bema as to how I worked with my brother and with my sister. Was I just one of those, was it just that it just seemed to be that I was a thorn in the side and more of a hindrance? Oh, brothers and sisters, would it be that we would work in unity? I'm going to, in the next section, I'm going to major on the positive side, kind of looking a little bit and thinking of the negative, but I want to major on the positive. Stability. Verse 10. I have laid the foundation, and another building thereon. Oh, the stability of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, the foundation has been laid. There's only one foundation that could ever have been laid, and that's Jesus Christ. All now is our responsibility to build upon that foundation. But what's the warning that comes across on the page of Scripture? Take heed how we build thereupon. Oh, that I would come constantly and just check myself against God's holy word. Is what I'm doing in accordance with God's word? Or is it I think so? It could be. I hope so. The pastor told me. Fred told me. Something else. My granddad did it. Somebody else was. Oh, that I would come back and see that those in a coming day before the Bema would be worth nothing. Valueless. But that's just to make an assessment now. To think that in a coming day, what is my labour in God's assembly? Is it according to the word of God? That's why he would write to the Philippians and he would say these words in chapter 3. For me to write the same things to you, indeed it's not grievous. But for you it is safe. And it's good for us to have a repetition of truth. It's good for us to be reminded. It's good for us to be taken back to the Word of God and just to see that stable ground. The accuracy. Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We have in this little section the work of God and the Word of God. At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's only what's of God that will last, that will endure. It's only what is according to the word of God. We'll acknowledge in the coming day that it was only that God gave the increase. And we'll acknowledge in a coming day that it's only what's according to the word of God that will last. We'll see this in picture, in type. In shadow, I want to take out that principle from Malachi, and that's why I read it. As we move into the next section, the reality. We see here now, and I want to just spend a little time here. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now I would see here, brothers and sisters, that this is going to be an open thing. There's some that would think that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a private assessment, where you stand before Christ and I would stand before Christ in a private way, and there'll be no one else. We'll just come individually before Christ and it will be an individual meeting with Christ. Well, I can't see that in this sense. Of course it will be that I'm not going to stand with my wife and with my family, and I'm not going to stand and be able to hide behind others or try and have another man's work or anything like that. It's going to be me before Christ. But I see this, brothers and sisters, as an open thing. Something which is manifest. We read these words, verse number 13. Manifest. Declare it. Revealed, tried, what sort it is. Manifest, it's going to be discovered. Declared, it's going to be disclosed. Declared, it will literally be declared. Revealed, it's going to be disclosed. The fire shall try it, it's going to be discerned. And to see what sort it is, it's going to be defined. My work, my service for God, in a coming day, when I stand before the Bema, is going to be made manifest. It's going to be disclosed. It's going to be uncovered. It's going to be opened up. It's going to be laid out. It's going to be literally put in the fire. It's going to be tried to see what sort it is. It's either going to endure or it's going to be consumed. It's either going to go on or it's going to be burnt up.
That's why, brothers and sisters, now the exhortation to my heart is that I would see that what I'm doing must be according to this book, must be pleasing to God, must be linked with Him in this wondrous service, laborers together with God, so that there in the coming day, when this service is assessed before God, and it's put into the fire, and it's tested according to the word of God. For again, would not Jeremiah say to us in chapter 23 and verse 29, "But my word is like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." And we see there that our work, our service for God, why primarily? I want to stop here. Why? So God could have a laugh at our charred remains? No. What is it? I suggested last night, and I say again, it's primarily so that there can be rewards given. God, He desires to reward faithful servants. I want to speak about this in a positive sense. We kind of immediately when we come to these scriptures, well, if you're anything like me anyway, immediately when we come to these scriptures, we kind of think of them in a negative. Work disclosed, discovered, work discerned, work tried, work declared, service and every manner, every motive, every material, every mindset, all laid out and exposed and tried to see what sort it is. Will it endure? And we almost have that trepidation. That's a good thing. But I want to see this very definitely tonight in a positive sense. Brothers and sisters, what's going to be discovered in that coming day is faithful service to God. Oh, your faithful service will be made known. Brothers and sisters, the years of faithful attendance to God's assembly, years of faithful growth and maturity, that which we've been looking at in this chapter, that you've gone on and you've grown and you've matured and the things of God is going to be uncovered in a coming day and laid out there and the fire will try it. Oh, that Christ would reward your faithful service. Be encouraged to go on, won't you? Be encouraged to mature. Be encouraged to grow. Be encouraged to be committed to God's assembly. Be encouraged to strive for God. It's going to come under review in the coming days. Be encouraged to stand separate from sectarianism. It's going to come under review in the coming day. Brothers and sisters, faithfulness to the word of God, even though the numbers may be small, it will be revealed in a coming day. It wasn't mega churches that God was after. It wasn't denominationalism that God was after. It was just that simple growth and adherence to His word and fellowship and assembly. That which is pleasing to God. Brothers, sisters, be encouraged to continue. It will be discovered. It will be disclosed. It will be declared. It will be revealed by fire. It will be discerned. I just want to think, dear brother, dear sister, of all that you have done, just in the position that God has placed you. Dear sister, has God given you a position in the local assembly where you would remain silent? Oh, think of the day. When we live in a day which says that can't be right. When we live in a day which says that's old fashioned and that must be cultural, even though God would go back to creation, it's got nothing to do with culture.
And we live in a day when it's been thrown out the window, and the pages of the Word of God have been torn out and screwed up and put in the rubbish bin. And we don't need those parts anymore. We don't want those parts anymore. We're a modern people. We're a people. That's the wisdom of the world, and it's vain, it's foolish, according to the last section of this chapter. But brothers and sisters, you'll be rewarded for faithful adherence to God's word. It will abound to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just that position that God has given you, that we saw there, one planting, another watering. Just faithful service where God has set you. Give in the gift that He has given you. Oh, would that we would just not only analyze ourselves tonight as we've been thinking of these things, but just be encouraged tonight, brothers and sisters. Just where you are, the day shall declare. You know, it's kind of, and this comes to my mind as I speak, and I want to just say a word on this. The trouble is, when I think of these things, that I still carry the flesh. And there is a part of me that, aha, in a coming day, when it's disclosed, it's declared, I'll be able to kind of go to others, haha, told you. Well, it won't be like that. That's why I believe it's going to be an open thing. There's going to be nothing of the flesh there. There's nothing of this business, brothers and sisters, that we'll sort this out at the judgment seat of Christ. It needs to be stamped out and eradicated. There's no such business of that in the Word of God. I'll see my brother at the judgment seat of Christ, and when I get there, I'll prove him to be wrong, thank you very much. It will be unclothed. That's carnality that's at the very first commencement of this third chapter. And it should never be. Now's the time to sort things out. Now's the time to move forward in unity with one another. Now's the time to be in service for God in a way that's pleasing to Him. Never should we take the attitude of, I'll prove my brother or sister wrong when we get there. Never. And I'll never look down on you, and you'll never look down on me. Everything there will abound to the glory of God. But it's for us now to do what we can in light of Holy Scripture, to be obedient, to analyze ourselves, and to move in a way with this knowledge that in a coming day is going to be disclosed. The lid will be taken off. It will be declared. It will be discerned by the fire, and it will be defined to see what sort it is. What sort is it? That clock just runs a bit fast, doesn't it? What sort is it? Well, it says here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. I would like to think of this in two ways. Some would say that gold, silver, precious stones is just simply illustrations. There's nothing particular about this. It's just simply illustrations of that which will endure. If a house was built and there were gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay and stubble, and the fire was to try that, well, that would endure, and the wood, hay and the stubble would perish. Well, that's true. But I like to think of it like this. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You see these three in their distinct place. That which is of gold, silver, and precious stones is, of course, according to the Word of God. That which is of wood, hay, and stubble is just going to disintegrate. It's going to be burned up. It wasn't according to the Word of God. That's why I decided to read in Luke chapter 19. And we didn't read, but we read in Matthew, we could have read in Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the sower. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And it's for
me to see that in a coming day, everything will be disclosed. The work will be made manifest, just as to how it was done, what was done, in accordance with what it was done. If it's according to the word of God, it will stand. All those words. Faithful servant. Faithful servant. I notice when we come to Malachi, it's very interesting. He sits as a refiner of silver. And there we see a beautiful, beautiful picture. We know that we would only be taking an application from here. Like a refiner's fire, a full of soap, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, there that they may offer. Oh, in a coming day when the fire tries the word, and that which endures will just be to the glory of God. It will be what I have for the Lord. And some shall suffer loss. Just briefly, I want to say this. Apparently, this was an email that was sent to me probably 6 months, 7 months ago, something like that. But it was about some ladies, and they had been looking at the scriptures together, and they came across this scripture of Malachi. What does it mean he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver? Well, they wanted to know what it meant, so one of them went away, and she went to a person who would be involved in this kind of thing. And she sat next to him as he was going about his trade. And he would put the silver into the fire on the end of the tongs, and he would put it into the fire, and then he would leave it there for a little while, and then he would take it out. Then he would put it back in, and she asked him what he was doing. And he told her this. He said, I just put it over the flame just until it heats up to a certain temperature. It can't be too much, for it will spoil it. And it can't be too little, for it would spoil it. And so I take it out and I have a look. She says, why do you have a look? He says, well, every time I take it out, I'm looking for something. She said, what are you looking for? He said, well, I put it in, I take it out, I put it in, I take it out. And he said, as soon as I see my reflection, it's finished. It's done. When I see my reflection in that silver, it's complete. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We could relate that to trials in life, couldn't we? That it would just be that Christ would be seen. But here we can see in the coming day our work will be tried. It will only be what's of Christ, what's done for him, service that's according to the word of God that will last. Some will suffer loss. What is that suffering of loss? That's why I wanted to read 2 Timothy and chapter 2. If we deny him, he shall deny us. Deny us what? Salvation, some say. Not a bit of it. Would God deny us salvation? It says us in the very next verse, if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. What would he deny us then? We will be denied reward. If we deny him now, we will be denied reward. I never forget just someone giving me this simple illustration a number of years ago. Shortly after I got saved, I used to speak to the man who I was working with who was a Christian. I never forget he gave me this illustration, and it's just simple, but it meant a lot to me at the time. When he said it would just maybe be something like this, that a big warehouse door would be opened up, and you'd see the shelves lined, and you'd see that they're points in your life. And there are rewards on each shelf. And maybe God would say, look, that reward there, I had it for you. I intended to give it to you. But at that point, it wasn't faithful service. You have to stay there. I can't give it to you. I wanted to. I intended to. That just meant a lot to me as a young Christian. just to have an illustration in my mind, that God desires to reward and bless and edify and see it all to the glory of His Son. It will be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think upon these things with seriousness. Ye are temple of God. There's a dwelling, there's a defilement, and there's a destroying. Let us think and just see that the intention of God is that we would grow, that we would flourish, and that we would move forward. And in that coming day when it's declared, it would abound to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would move out. We see saved as by fire. What does that mean? Well, there are two things I see that. And I see that, one, saved as by fire, there are some who would, their works would be burned up. But God will never deny salvation. Secondly, I see it like this. There are some who are saved on their deathbed and they had nothing to offer God. But you and I, we're not on our deathbed, although it might feel like it. But here we are in the hall this afternoon. We have more. We have these moments as we're seated here together. And under assessment in a coming day will be even the very moments I sat in this hall this evening. What was my attitude to the Word of God? What was my service? Let us not be deceived. Let us not glory in men. Let us not. And that's why I read in Isaiah, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. It just literally means stop regarding man, who is a nostril full of breath. I'm only as good as the breath that I breathe. And that was the one I just took, because I can't even guarantee myself the next one. Don't regard man. Look to Christ. Let us go on and mature, remembering that coming day of the Bema. Let's pray. Our Father, we stand before Thee, conscious of the reality of Thy Word. We feel challenged, Father, yet encouraged that we may live for Thee. Help us to be found faithful until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage our hearts, and we do pray for the flourishing, the blessing of Assembly Testimony in New Zealand, the edification of the saints. There will be souls saved and baptized and added, and even companies raised up, Father, assemblies raised up by Thine own good hand. Father, we just pray, commit ourselves to Thee as we go home our separate ways. Take us home in safety, we pray, that we may be useful to Thee until the coming of the Lord. Oh, that we would have our steps ordered by Thy word, that it may be in the coming day that it would be of gold, silver, and precious stones. It would endure, it would last, and it would abound to the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that coming day every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. It will be to the glory of God the Father. It will be under the glory of God any service rendered to Thee. Father, accept our thanks again for Calvary, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate service. We thank Thee for our blessed Saviour. Accept our thanks now as we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have stolen a moment or two of your time, but I want to sing a verse or two, please, of 815. 815. And we'll sing the